Welcome to the 205 Vibe Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Earl Dotson Jr., and I am also with, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, our fine arts director, Melissa Wolf, is in the building.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Happy to be here.
Typically, I'm very happy to have kind of, I guess you could call it a co-host, but it is a special occasion because we are talking about the Rockford Public Schools Fine Arts Hall of Fame, and we are honored to have with us today the one and only Pete Bond. Hello, sir.
Hello. I hope there aren't two of me.
So Peter, West High School alumnus, celebrated trumpeter and author, has had a remarkable 28-year career at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. Wow. You know, I'll just jump right into that. Like, you know, what was that like working at the Metropolitan Opera in New York? What was that experience like?
I'm not sure I can describe it. It's a music factory that operates at a very, very high level. So, and opera is, I guess they call it the highest art form, where you've got theater, music, you know, all the, and stagecraft and everything comes together all in one place. And there it's done at an extremely, extremely high level, you know, every night. So I was just a very, very small cog in a giant machine.
So Peter, tell us right now, where are you originally from? Where were you born and raised?
Well, I was an, you know, Army kid. So I was born in El Paso, Texas, and lived there for about, probably 6 weeks, and then to Rockford. And that's where I grew up. On Ridge Avenue.
On Ridge Avenue. Man, thank you. Way to make it personal. Yes, Ridge Avenue. And I know we were chatting prior to starting about where you are now, but if you could just tell us again, like, where are you currently residing?
I'm east of Albuquerque in the East Mountains, outside a little town called Tijeras. So I'm at about 7,000 feet. I have the picture in the background behind me is the sunset from my back deck. So it's a very idyllic, you know, kind of situation. Yet in 20 minutes, I can be in downtown Albuquerque. So it's, you know, it's kind of nice. Wow. But nice. I'm in the southwest up about 7,000 feet.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I also had the honor and the privilege, I'll call it a privilege, to attend West when it was in high school. Yep, I love attending school there. I also get to go back, and it's really nostalgic when you walk back in that building and see, some of the architecture and the pictures are still there. What was your time like there at West? What do you remember? What do you remember about your time, your graduation, and your high school, your years going to school there?
It's actually kind of a blur. What's the joke? If you remember the 70s, you weren't there. I was a mediocre student, and the band was kind of my refuge, and so that was I guess that was the room of misfit toys, I guess. But I really clicked with those people in that situation, and then in my senior year, they hired a very, very charismatic band director who catapulted me forward. And, you know, because I expected to be working in factories in Rockford, you know, indeed my brother wound up doing, because I had no prospects and wasn't terribly motivated. And this guy, he just lifted me up, and it was really, one of my first great mentors, and got me into college and college music, and really enabled me to capitalize on. I had an affinity for trumpet, but I was not, terribly talented, the way most people would think. So that was a very wonderful thing. So, memories are mostly, very fond, school years.
I appreciate your candor and just talking about, like, it, because that's me too. Like, it was, you think back at those years, it kind of is, for me, it was like a blur, right? Like, what, same kind of educational experience. Just going back to that, what do you think, like, even in that time or just growing up here, how did that prepare you when you did end up in a place like the Metropolitan Opera in New York, when you bring all these different people with backgrounds together? How do you think anything prepared you for that, to kind of get right into that and perform at the level you needed to?
No, not performance-wise, but I've heard President Obama speak on this too, that people are people, no matter where you go. And so, and I joke to my music friends, I assume that when I, should I ever get to an orchestra of that level, it's probably one of the great orchestras in the world, that everything would be, sunshine and roses and professionalism and all the same things that you saw, all the same things that I saw in middle school band, were there. You have your apple polishers and your stoners and your brown nosers and all the stereotypes you see in school,
sure,
are there. There's, the stakes are higher, but the people are the same. Mm-hmm. And I heard Obama speak to the same way in a political context, going from alderman to state senator to, sure, that thing. And so, and that's a kind of an interesting thing to realize.
That's fascinating.
And the sooner you realize it, the easier it is to, kind of fit in and see how things work.
That's a great analogy to use. I appreciate that. You know, when you talked about the one teacher that elevated you, it just speaks to the power of adults sometimes in our lives and in young people's lives. And the one, right? All it takes is just one to make a difference. And that's the one you remember, right? That changes and turns things around. And we are fortunate to have an educator with us. I'm going to bring her in, who has done that throughout her career as well for her students.
She looks vaguely familiar.
And for our listening audience, we are again Zooming with Mr. Peter Bond, and so we have the pleasure of seeing him. And so, I'm gonna bring Melissa in just to talk about that kind of educational piece, and just how important that is for students in the arts.
Sure. Hi, Pete. I wanted to know the name of that band teacher at West, if you wanted to give him any sort of accolade or shout out.
Okay. I mean, he's passed away now. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's no longer with us, but his name was Ken Molnar.
Okay.
Sadly, the band director before him was quite ineffectual and things were not what they should have been. And Ken had the strangest charisma of anyone I've ever seen. I wrote about this somewhere. We didn't see the guy smile for like 6 months. And he had this very taciturn look, and he spoke, everything was, he spoke in, it sounds bizarre, but he spoke in terms of like everything was sarcastic. It was never harmful or wounding or like that, but it was all, and if he said, well, I thought it would be twice as bad, that was like the highest praise. And for some reason, I don't know how this worked, but some reason all the kids would bend over backwards to try to make him happy. And it elevated us. And it's nothing that I could ever, duplicator. I think you will never see it duplicated, but I think it's a personal charisma. And you could tell that inside he cared about everybody and he cared about the product, and what we were doing. And it gave everybody a tremendous sense of personal pride and accomplishment in what they were doing together. The whole being greater than the sum of the parts. Mm-hmm. Very truly, that really happens in a musical school music situations. And so he was terrific, and he featured me. He started a jazz band, a stage band. I think it was the first one they'd ever had, and we got on the map pretty quickly. He took us to festivals, and he featured me. So I was heard by some college people, who then recruited me. That was kind of my stepping stone, but it also made me try to up my game. He was just not for me exclusively, but I think for all the students. And my brother was later in his bands. And mm-hmm. I think he did the same for all of his students.
That's a good transition for us to talk a little bit about your collegiate journey as well as your journey with the Phantom Regiment. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
I joined the Phantom Regiment about the same time that I started playing in junior high school bands. So Roosevelt Middle School, George Trumbull, long, long time Rockford institution. Mm-hmm. He used to be the band director at Rockford West. And in fact, I went with my father as visiting once, and he said, oh, I'm going to Stockholm and have pancakes with a group of guys to get together with. And we all graduated together from Rockford High School 50 years ago. And I came along with them and I mentioned George Trumbull, and one of the guys said, well, he was my band director, when dinosaurs roamed the earth. So, he was a longtime institution. But anyway, I was in the middle school band, and an announcement came over the public address, the morning announcements. You remember that business? And they said, local drum and bugle corps is starting up and they're looking for members. And I had seen a group in a parade and they were very impressive. The Labor Day or Memorial Day parades. It was probably the Purple Knights. And I said, well, I'll go check that out. And so I joined that. And that kind of became my family. They were horrible, of course. They were, quality wise, it's just terrible. But it was an amazing cross section of society throughout Rockford. Mm-hmm. Mostly blue collar kids from all over the city, of every socioeconomic class, people that I never would have associated with normally or run across, and that was a very expanding experience. So that kind of ran parallel with my school experience, and I stayed with them for 7 years, so all the way through middle school, high school, and most of college. It was kind of like a band on turbochargers, the idea being it was a competitive outfit with other groups from Chicago and Wisconsin and whatnot. Everybody is like pulling in the same direction. Mm-hmm. You get, and to walk into the door as a new kid, super, awkward, introverted, clumsy, kid, and to have people come up to me and say, hey, we're glad you're here, and that was just the most wonderful thing. And so that became, my home and probably where most of my energies went until my senior year when Ken Molnar was hired and became a major influence. So I had a mentor there in James Wren, who taught the brass people and arranged all the music.
Jim Wren.
And then Ken Molnar. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And then Ken Molnar was my second Rockford mentor. I mean, I had teachers, but people who really pushed me and elevated me and saw what I couldn't see or kicked me in the butt when that was necessary, and which was always.
That's a really special thing in the arts in general and in fine arts in general, is that, like you said, it's a collaborative effort, and any one person is not the best. Together as the ensemble or the community is the best. And also the fact that you really found some good connection and a place to feel yourself in the arts community. Because we see that all the way now, today, me just having left the classroom, kids come to school sometimes because that's where they find the most inclusion, is that in that one class, in that one music class, or that one theater class, or visual arts class. And so I really think that fine arts is a great stepping stone for soft skills and teaching people how to treat other people and to be yourself.
Right. How to get along with people who are different than you and resolve problems, but also for self-expression, mm-hmm. which you don't almost never get in the classroom, but theater, of course. Yeah.
Right.
Places where you can express yourself, whether it's, through art or music or poetry or whatever. That's huge component.
That's a great segue, Peter. And again, I appreciate you dropping all those local references and local gems. I caught that's the Stockholm Inn reference. That's fantastic.
I still go there whenever I visit Rockford. Absolutely.
Appreciate that. And the Phantom Resume, where they're back with us, and it's just great that they're still around and still having an influence. But back to what you just talked about with self-expression and how important that is in the arts. Throughout your career, whether you were writing something or playing your instrument, what did you aim for your music or word to say, to express? What do you feel like you were trying to convey to the audience or to the listener?
Well, in the case of the music that I make, I'm a big jazz fan, but I'm not a jazz musician, and I admire those people immensely. And they are able to express a little bit more personally what they're doing. And what I was doing was more interpretive, what does Dvorak mean here? What does Stravinsky mean here? You know, so I'm kind of the conduit. I'm trying to be a channel and make what I do as convincing as possible, you know, to the audience, whether it's to excite them or lift them up, or maybe you're playing in church in a worship service and you're trying to create that situation. Mm-hmm. And so I have a job and a role to do. And one thing I tell my students, which is important for, I guess, all musicians, is you very, very rarely get to play the music you really, really like. Hmm. Usually you're playing something you don't care for, or if you're lucky enough to play a piece you really like, you're not playing the part you like. And if you're playing the part you really like, you've got some conductor that won't let you play it the way you want to play it. But you have to sell it. You have to sure. do your job. Like, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You're in show business. You're in sales. You got to go out there and sell it, even though you hate that song, you know, perhaps personally. But that's your job. Sure. And of course, then you may, they actually may kind of talk yourself into it and go, say, well, this isn't so bad.
Sure. What I caught that, Peter, you said you're students. What do you teach and what do you teach?
I had taught, when I was in New York, I taught at several institutions, Rutgers, New York University, Montclair University. Now I travel around. I do master classes at different universities and things. And so that's fun to work with young people from different schools, different parts of the country. So I teach, you know, locally, you know, whatever. Sure. Few people can find my house here in the mountains. And I actually went back and I coached the drum and bugle corps for a couple of years in the mid-90s because all of my friends that I grew up with were running the outfit. So I had summers off from the opera. So, well, it was kind of a lark. Oh, I'll go do that. And that was that was a lot of fun.
That's cool. You know, as you look back and, you know, as you're just talking about your career and, you know, just thinking about all the things you've done, is there something that really stands out to you, something that you look back on and feel really proud of or that's really memorable, something that you've a performance or something that really, really stands out?
I suppose with the opera, some of the high profile things. I mean, I got to work with people like Pavarotti and Domingo and stuff. And I played the three tenors at Giant Stadium. And that was a big deal, I guess.
Wow.
I suppose one of the most memorable and interesting aspects of my work at the opera is it's a full symphony orchestra, but they're in a pit. So people came to see the stage and you're anonymous. You know, no one sees you where they see, or hopefully they see very little of you. And you're anonymous and you're doing this work, except if you're the trumpet player. Every once in a while, and this was apparently a big deal in the 19th century, they'll have musicians on stage and you find yourself on stage dressed like a lunatic, you know, in front of 4,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the costumes, you know, is, you know, one costume, I think I sent you guys some photos. I mean, some of them are absolutely ridiculous, and some people really like that. So you're under the spotlights, and you know some people are just mortified and don't want anything to do with it. But so you're either anonymous or you're painfully obvious, you know. And you may have some acting shtick to do, you know. And I kind of enjoyed that, and I think perhaps my time with the Phantom Regiment helped me, you know, where you have to go out and you're performing live in front of many, many people. And sometimes I was a soloist, so sometimes it was just me. No matter what the music is, there's a performance aspect to it, which is very important. And it's also, I could look back onto it and I say, well, I've done harder stuff than this, you know. And, you know, when you start to get nervous or whatever. And little things that go wrong on stage and you have to, like, improvise. And there was one opera where I had to march out all by myself. In this crazy costume, and then this big train would come behind me. It was the snake oil salesman, the fraudulent, you know, a guy selling elixir, you know, to the peasants, you know, the Rustici. And a substitute stage manager sent me out early, and I was all by myself on stage with nothing behind me. And I had to make up some shtick so that it didn't look like, you know, little things like that happen as you remember them, you know.
You had to improvise right on the spot there, huh?
You had to make up a little something or other so that, you know, to save things.
So as we wind down here, as the people who listening, our students who listen to our podcast, what advice would you give a current Rockford Public Schools fine arts students who'd like to pursue their passion in the arts as a career?
Listen widely. And nowadays you have this, you have the luxury of online resources. Actually, there's almost too much, but you have access to everything. And I've heard opera stars like Renee Fleming and Tom Hampson, people, you know, walking down the hallway to the cafeteria, and they say, oh, I just go on YouTube and I can hear, you know, how so-and-so sang it back in 1903 or 1910, you know, and that's a remarkable thing to have at our fingertips. So make use of these things. Certainly seek out live music as much as humanly possible. I was going into Chicago as much as possible, to hear things even in college, and practice like a maniac, and record yourself often so that you know what you're doing or what you're foisting on your audience. You know, like when I pay money to hear that, maybe not. You know, a little more work to be done here.
Sure. You know? Melissa, did you have anything else that you wanted to ask?
I don't think so. I was ready for your three.
Oh, you are anticipating my three. Well, again, Peter Bond, thank you, sir. Congratulations to being inducted into the Fine Arts Hall of Fame. Well deserved, well earned, sir. And we look forward to seeing you and meeting you there. And before we go, though, we have three questions that we ask every guest.
And ruh-roh. I gotta go now.
They're fun. They're easy. I think okay. You kind of answered one of them already, but this just kind of helps. We get to know you, just some other little things about you. So, other than music, Peter, if you were to go watch a cinema or you're watching something on TV or a movie, do you have like a one go-to movie or TV show, something that you're watching that you really, really enjoy?
That I really, really enjoy.
Either you're watching now or something that you could watch over and over again when it comes on.
There are a couple of films that I can't turn off, you know, if you happen to come across it. But I became very enamored of a rather rude show called Deadwood, which was on HBO. And that thing has it's almost Shakespearean, you know. Yeah, and it has layers upon layers. So when you watch it, and then of course all the actors are just astounding.
Fantastic. You know, one of the reasons we ask these three, because I love, they're simple questions, but everyone has a different answer, and it's always fun. Mm-hmm. Second question is, if it's a special occasion, Peter, and someone's taking you out to eat or someone's preparing you a dish, is there like a go-to dish or food that you could eat every time, or is there a restaurant that does it for you? Any, what stands out?
Oh, I don't know. I'm nuts for Mexican food, and here, new Mexican food. So in this state, everything's based on locally grown green chilies. Mm. So if you go to any restaurant, McDonald's, Burger King, chain restaurants,
sure,
they'll all have a green chili cheeseburger.
Because
if they don't, no one's going there. and so the cuisine is quite unique.
That's fascinating.
And so carne adobada burrito or something like that. I just love that stuff.
That's wonderful. And then the last one, I think you kind of answered it, but I'm going to ask anyway. When you talked about, if we talk in a genre of music, you obviously being a musician, but is there a particular artist that stands out that you want to hear a lot, or a particular genre of music that you always, your favorite, something that you really love to listen to?
No. I listen to jazz. I like progressive rock. And of course, some, you know, a lot of classical music is just so unbelievably sublime that I can't really choose anything. I recall in college we would get together in somebody's room and, you know, remember the old record changers, right?
Sure.
You know, we'd stack all. Well, we would stack the records up, and it would be a Mahler symphony, and then it would be Yes or Pink Floyd, and then it might be, you know, and then it might be Blues and the Abstract Truth by Oliver Nelson.
Ooh,
and we would just listen,
lineup.
You know, it didn't matter. And so I'm a tremendous fan of, I suppose, principally jazz and classical music.
Fantastic.
You know.
Well, thank you, sir. We really appreciate your time. We look forward again to seeing you, and enjoy your time out there in the beautiful New Mexico. And again, thank you, sir. pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. I look forward to meeting you both in person.
And before we go, Melissa Wolf, our Fine Arts Director, who is doing a wonderful job in putting on the Fine Arts Hall of Fame. Melissa, tell us, when is it?
The Fine Arts Hall of Fame is Friday, May 10th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Illinois Bank and Trust Pavilion at Aldine Golf Club. You can check out tickets and more information at rps205/finearts.
Thank you for listening to the 205 Vibe podcast. Subscribe to the 205 Vibe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening now. Check out the blog, videos, and news on rps205.com/205 Vibe.